Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word.
Well, good morning. Here we are in the Christmas season. Doesn't seem like this year should already be gone, does it, Ray?
No. Seems just like yesterday. Seemed like we were just celebrating the new year. But God has really shown Himself real this year, Pam.
You know, Ray, He really has. And we're looking forward to His coming blessings in 2012. As 3 John 1 and 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." But we have a different lesson for today.
That's right. We sure do. And, I'm just so thankful that we have such a good broadcast station here with KDKR 91.3. And I know everybody's going to enjoy this lesson today.
I do too. And so what are you fixing to do?
Well, we're fixing to sing a song.
A little Christmas song before we get into the lesson. And it's going to be what song?
It's going to be "Away in a Manger."
Okay, take it away, Ray.
Away in a manger, no crib for His bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying He makes. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by the cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with Thee there."
You know, Ray, I love that song. It's so sweet, and it helps set the mood for remembering the truth of Christmas. But now let's review a few minutes from last week. We talked about those with the gift of serving. We ended by looking at Moses, whose gifting was that of a server. But God called and anointed him to be leader for His people.
There is a great lesson there, which is, there may be times in your life when God calls you to do something, and your first response is, "Lord, you know I'm not gifted in that area." But see, it doesn't matter. If God has called, He's going to equip you and He's going to anoint you in the situation. You'll be able to do it with His help, what you would never be able to do on your own. The bottom line is, the anointing supersedes your giftedness.
It definitely supersedes your giftedness, Ray. You're absolutely right. It's His anointing that equips us. So let's look real quickly at the problem areas of a server. Number one, is critical of others who do not help out with obvious needs. And the classic example is Martha, who was the sister of Mary and Lazarus. You know the story, Raymond, where Jesus went to their house and Martha wanted to feed him and serve him, and Mary wanted to sit at his feet and learn. And so the server has to learn how to divide between the two. And then number two, may neglect own family's needs by being too busy helping others. Number three, may become pushy or interfering in eagerness to help. Number four, finds it hard to accept being served by others. And the fifth problem area would be is easily hurt when unappreciated. You know, I want to remind you real quick that there are worksheets available on our ministry site for download. I encourage you to fill them out as we go.
Some examples of biblical servers are Martha and John, chapter 11, verse 1 through 42. Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, and Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew 8, verses 14 and 15, and Jacob, Genesis 25 and 30. That's just to name a few. But today, we're going to give you the 20 characteristics of the teacher. This is the third motivational gift listed in Romans 12, 6 through 8. The Greek word for a person who teaches means simply to teach or give instructions. This person with that gift should most usually be functioning in the area of teaching others. You could almost use the term researcher synonymous with teacher because many with this gift are in occupations that require research or teaching abilities. Teaching is not always a vocal gift, but can always be seen in writing and literature.
That's right. So here are the characteristics of the teacher. Number one, presents truth in a logical, systematic way. If you look back over your school days, you would be able to pick out the teachers who were really gifted to teach. Their presentations were the easiest to take notes for because they were presented in such a systematic manner.
Well, it validates truth by checking out the facts. The name ferret means to search out. And that is what the teacher is doing all the time, ferreting out the truth. Truth is important. Teachers want to be sure that they always believe and accept is based on facts. A biblical example would be Thomas, talking in John 20:25, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." Of course, we know that 8 days later, when Jesus did appear to him, he could only reply, "My Lord and my God." Pam, a lot of this, the time a person with this gift of teaching might be called a doubting Thomas from time to time. Don't get upset. Count it an honor because you were created that way. You were designed by God to investigate, and you're doing a good job if others notice. Just don't take it as far as Thomas did. The teacher could actually be called spiritual detective.
I kind of like that. Anyway, number three is loves to study and do research. Because of their love of study and research, teachers also like to have a large personal library. How true? Just ask Ray about mine. Number four is they enjoy word studies. Teachers are fascinated with words. They like to investigate the root meanings, even what language words originated from. To them, words are the building blocks of communication. Sometimes the study of just one word can lead the teacher into hours of pursuit as one insight leads to another. When studying the scripture, it truly becomes alive as a research.
Number five is, prefers to use biblical illustrations rather than life illustrations. To the teacher, the Bible is the ultimate authority. When he or she doesn't understand a scripture, he believes the problem is his lack of knowledge, not the scripture. To him, it is a source of new understanding yet to be discovered. Teachers will quote liberally from the Bible because they can trust this source.
Number 6, gets upset when scripture is used out of context. To take a scripture out of context is like dragging your fingernails across a blackboard. Teachers view the misuse of scripture as abuse. Number 7, feels concerned that truth be established in every situation. In business, education, religion, human relationships, or any other area of life, teachers want truth to prevail. To them, truth is the foundation, the anchor, the framework in which they can securely work. We find in Acts 17 and 11 that the Berean believers checked out what Paul said every day to be sure that it truly lined up with the word.
The characteristic 8 is more objective than subjective. Did you know, Pam, that in general, men tend to be more objective than women, more subjective? Women are more subjective, but men are more objective. The exception comes when a man is gifted to teaching. He becomes very subjective. They will probably become a research scientist, a business analyst, or a judge.
Wow.
We find that teachers tend to look at life with a certain detachment. They participate, but without their emotions getting in their way. This insulates them from being hurt or emotionally wounded.
That's interesting. Number 9 is that they easily develop and use a large vocabulary. Teachers use words well and are fond of learning new ones. Now, teachers are the ones, if you like to play games, who enjoy Scrabble, Boggle, and crossword puzzles. And they're good at those games, so you most definitely would not want to play those games with them.
That's true.
And number 10, it says, emphasizes facts and the accuracy of words. Teachers are not interested in opinions. They want the facts. Facts are the building blocks of their lives.
Okay, Pam, the characteristic number 11 checks out the source of knowledge of others who teach. Teachers are the ones who are most apt to ask, who, what, when, and how come? In a young person, it can only come across as rude or impudent. Characteristic number 12, prefers teaching believers to engaging in evangelism. A teacher keeps a low profile when it comes to evangelism. He likes to build a bridge of relationship or friendships as he leads someone to the Lord. Aggressive types of evangelism are not appealing to the teacher. He or she is definitely not drawn to street witnessing or door-to-door evangelism. But when a person who has been won to the Lord, the teacher will spend endless hours joyfully teaching the new convert. God knew what he was doing when he geared some to evangelize, some to teach the evangelize, so that the body of Christ not only grows in numbers, but also in maturity.
Number 13, Phil's Bible study is foundational to the operations of all the gifts. Teachers believe that the foundation upon all gifts operating comes from studying the Bible. And we're going to give you an example. Their thinking might go like this.
How can the perceiver perceive accurately unless
he has a solid understanding of the Bible?
Well, how can the server serve well
if he's not acquainted with biblical reasons for service?
How can a teacher teach unless
he has studied the scriptures thoroughly?
How can an exhorter exhort effectively unless
he knows the biblical basis for his exhortation?
And how can a giver give properly
if he's not aware of the biblical guidelines for giving?
And how can an administration be an effective leader unless
he understands God's will as revealed in the Word.
And how can the compassionate person minister God's love
if he doesn't encounter that love in the Bible? You know, Ray, that's why a teacher will say there is nothing more foundational than studying the Bible.
Wow. My, my, my. Well, hey, we go to characteristic number 14. He or she solves problems by starting with scriptural principles. There is an answer to every problem in God's Word, is what the teacher believes, whether it be an actual example or principle or by implication.
Yeah.
The characteristic 15 says like this, is intelligently sharp. Intellectually, we'll call it. Intellectually sharp. Let me tell you, these are the ones you don't want to play Trivial Pursuit with. They will win every time.
Yeah, that's right.
In our study, we are calling this gift the mind of the body of Christ. A teacher's mind can be likened to a thirsty sponge, soaking up everything it can. A teacher is even a prophetic reader. He usually has a good memory for dates in history.
Yeah, and me and Ray's been having vocabulary study, and that word is prolific, sweetie, a prolific reader.
Okay.
So, I tend to be a little gifted in the teaching area, and so I love vocabulary. And Ray's an exhorter, and he'd just soon not get into vocabulary, right? Okay, so characteristic 16 is self-discipline. The ingredients for self-discipline would go something like this. Mix a good dose of seriousness with a lot of objectivity, add love for truth and a keen mind, and you would have self-discipline. Teachers set goals and are able to stick with them. They can set parameters and work within them, and they can project time schedules and abide by them. And number 17, they are emotionally self-controlled. When looking at the gifts, this is the motivational gifting that has the greatest emotional equilibrium. Some people have emotional ups and downs that track like a roller coaster. Others have a smoother pattern of ups and downs with occasional jolting bumps. The graph of a teacher's mood swing, looks more like a horizontal line. And teachers are very analytical. Amen. They believe reasonable choices can resolve potentially volatile situations. When someone is upset, they may advise, calm down.
Calm down.
You can.
Yep.
You know you can. To them, it is a matter of choice.
Number 18 says, Pam, has only a select circle of friends. In developing close relationships, common interest seems to be the common opportunities. A teacher very seldom has superficial friendships. They may have many acquaintances, but a smaller selected group of true friends. They are uneasy in unstructural social situations, and they hate meaningless
chit-chat.
Kind of like a chit-chat
thing.
Just, chit-chats.
Yeah.
They love friends that they can discuss ideals and concepts. They are sometimes loners. Some teachers will even say some interaction with people is okay, but I just as soon curl up with a good book. Books are often their best friends.
And number 19 is that teacher has strong convictions and opinions based on investigation of facts. Teachers have many areas of interest. They willingly drop what they're doing to investigate a new area of knowledge. And number 20, they believe truth has the anyway, the basic power to produce change. John 8 and 32 says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Teachers believe the application of truth is the job of the Holy Spirit. They assume that others will respond to truth in the same way they do, as energizing and liberating.
Amen.
Well, those are the 20 characteristics of the teacher. If you're doing the worksheet, total it, and let's move on to the problem areas of the teacher.
Okay. Pam, the problem parts are the teacher's problem areas are unique to the gift of teaching. But in identifying the problems, the teacher believes that the solution cannot be far away. Number one, tends to neglect the practical application of truth because teachers believe that their job is to communicate truth and let people make their own use of it. They usually do not give much in the way of practical suggestions. This is frustrating to others, so let me give you a quick example. The listener may say, "So, we've heard lots of facts. Now what do we do with them?" The teacher's going to respond, "You've got a mind. You figure it out." The teacher needs to realize that not only minds work with the degree of logic their mind does, many need specific directions. They need steps 1, 2, and 3. A teacher needs to learn how to give as at least some measure of practical application.
That's right. And you know, that if you have a logical mind, right, it is difficult to realize that not everybody thinks logically. Like, I'm not saying, you know, they're off their mind, but some people think a little more in a straight order of steps. And when you do, you expect other people to also. Number two, a teacher is slow to accept the viewpoints of others. A know-it-all attitude can be a real pitfall for the person with this motivational gift. They do know a lot, but guess what, Raymond?
No one
knows everything.
No one does.
That's right.
Point three is, for the problem, tends to develop pride in intellectual ability. Pride is probably the number one problem for those with this gifting. We know that pride brings downfall. Proverbs 11 and 2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." Proverbs 29 and 23 says, "A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor." Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8 and 1, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." So we see that the greatest qualities a teacher can seek are humility and love. These will neutralize that the pride problem.
Yeah, amen. And problem number four is they tend to be legalistic and dogmatic. Being right is important to the teacher, and that can cause them to become argumentative. They need to remember God's truth is not exclusive. It can be verified by many.
And the fifth one is, he is easily sidetracked by new interests. Teachers are interested in many things. Their prolific reading takes them into the kinds of areas. Their research extends to endless subjects. Therefore, focusing is not always easy, ending the session on the gift of teaching. If you know anyone with the motivational gift of teaching, you got to be patient with them. As the saying goes, God isn't finished with them yet.
Good, Ray. I'm glad to know that. Well, we want to encourage you to read about these teachers in the Bible. Aquila and Priscilla, which you can find in Acts chapter 18 and Romans chapter 16. Timothy in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. And, of course, Luke, who wrote the books of Luke and Acts. And, you know, we know that Luke was a physician. And one reason why his book of Luke and Acts are so well read is because he was so careful to give an exact view of what was going on.
That's good.
So, Ray, have you got one or two words you would like to say before we ask our announcer to come and tell you how to contact us?
Well, I'm just really excited about the things, what's going on at the end of this year, but I'm really looking forward to the next year. I know Pam and I have prayed about it, and there's some big things on the way. We'll be announcing them later down in the next few weeks. And we're expecting God to just pour out big things. We appreciate those that are partnered with us. We appreciate
Amen.
Those that are praying with us and believing God. And so you just keep praying for us and give as God leads you to give. And pray for us, because everything we're doing is for the glory of God. And we appreciate every one of you out there. Just listen every Saturday. You can get us even on the station or on the internet.
Amen. Amen. And we do take your prayer requests seriously, so don't hesitate to leave those on the website. So here's Ray, our son, also our announcer, to tell us how to contact us. And we will be with you again next Saturday. God bless.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries. Again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6, 24 through 26.
Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by the cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.